Hey guys, this is Mike and Anthony. Just want to say thank you again for listening this week. And once again, apologize for the lack of a new episode, but we're going to bring you another best of this week. And here you go.
Don't worry, by the way, we do have plenty more new stuff coming up. We just wanted to revisit a couple of classics that the audience seems to like. This is the second one of those before new episodes premiere next week. This is How Prostitution Works in a Backwards Format. And you pay a girl $1,500, but end up having sex with her friends. This is Can't Buy Me Love.
You enjoy this one, because I know we enjoyed making it. Thank you.
Or who are you thinking Zach is, though?
Well, see, I think Ronald Miller becomes Zach. How about that?
Oh, fucking blew my mind, man. Do you love the movies of the 80s and 90s? Did late fees at the video store make you panic like you lost a book from the library? Then you are in the right place. Welcome to Mike and Anthony's Soda Pop Culture Club. Me, Mike, along with my co-host, Antoine.
I'm into class. It's my new thing.
Bring our take on TV, movies, and all pop culture from the 80s, 90s, and beyond. If you want all things Soda Pop Culture Club, go to SodaPopCultureClub.com. There you can see our episode schedule, contact us, and make movie suggestions. Plus, join our Patreon and become a producer of the show. What's today's selection, Antoine?
This is old school. This is before Richard Gere and Julia Roberts romanticized prostitution. We had a better plot from 1987 with Patrick Dempsey, a.k.a. Rollo Miller, and Cindy Mancini. This is Can't Buy Me Love.
You call this prostitution?
Yes, I do.
I don't know if it's prostitution. Do you have to sell? He didn't buy sex. He bought
companionship.
He bought, I mean, it's like indentured servitude. I don't know what that is. But I don't think it's prostitution. Well, I don't know what you're talking about. When you say
that's not what Bobby said.
Well, Bobby says a lot.
That makes you a prostitute.
It makes you a whore or something, doesn't he?
Well, Bobby's haircut was awesome, too.
Did he say whore?
Huh?
Did he say whore? Did someone say whore? Someone called her a whore. Maybe that's me projecting. I was calling her a whore in my mind.
I think you're remembering it the way you want to.
I'm misremembering or remembering it just right for how I felt about it. But yeah, Can't Buy Me Love. Great movie. How did you see it?
How did I see it? Oh,
the first time.
It had to be on VHS.
VHS? You rented this?
I think we owned it, actually.
Oh, that's like next level.
Yeah, we had a little cabinet in the dining room full of VHS tapes.
Yeah.
This was in there.
Excellent. I probably watched it on HBO, to be honest. I probably didn't rent it.
I remember, too, actually, I think it was my dad, a friend of his worked at a video store. Because I remember we had so many fucking movies in the plastic clear cases in our cabinet. So I don't know how I got it. Like,
are you saying you had a hookup that somehow worked?
Yeah. Oh, okay. This is a... 80s version of illegal streaming, I guess.
Yeah, well, you know, you say this, but my mother back in the day, you know, my sister worked at a major cable company and got free pay-per-views. So my mother had it in this her brain that she was going to get those long record VHS tapes, and she recorded three movies to a tape, even cataloged them, and she called it Holland House of Video, and you could come and get a tape from her, but you'd have to return it. So we actually had our own pirate system.
Pirate video store?
So
that's awesome.
But we didn't pay for it, so technically she's not making money. She's just lending it out, you know?
You know, and this is totally off topic, but now that we're talking about videos and stuff. So I remember I used to work at a pizza shop when I was a kid.
Yeah?
And I remember one of the girls that was...
Where haven't you worked? Well, I mean, shit, man. You've been a radio DJ, now a pizza person. I know you've done other shit,
Pizza, that was my first job. Real job. I was like 17.
Sorry.
No, I'm going to tell you right now, fuck that, because I was a great pizza maker.
All right.
My boss actually, like, years later, I visited him, and he was like, I really miss having you here. You were the best pizza maker I ever had. I took pride in that shit, because pizza,
I would.
Pizza is important.
I know.
It's like your Five Guys. You were talking about how you were...
The best fry maker.
There you go.
the best vibrator.
I just remember this as and it's kind of funny when, because getting to see a movie before it comes out, not before it comes out to the theaters, but that lag when it's
that dip between the theaters and it
leaves theaters before it comes out on video. So this girl was a manager, and like Titanic was her favorite movie in the world. It's funny. Ooh. I don't know how she got it. Somebody found it and gave it to her or something. Basically, it was like a thrown out copy of Titanic that was for Oscar purposes.
Oh, one of those.
Yeah.
Who the hell did she get that from?
Well, here's the thing. I don't know. Somebody got it for her somehow, but it had been thrown away or something. So the tape was like messed up. So basically, she watched it. She played it and had to watch it like from the reflection of her fish tank or some shit. But she was there, and
that's how it worked.
Like, I'm just saying, she was like, "If you watch it on there, though, it looks perfectly fine." So I'm like, "This is back. This is like, but it's so exciting because it's like, I have this." And
there are people
does.
Who had those, and they are people who vote on the Oscars. So I want to know who the hell
I don't know.
Is nearby that had a freaking
I don't know how
vote.
This...
Okay, so anyways,
I could tell you where I worked. It was in Fremont, Ohio.
Do we know anybody that was an Oscar winner that lived in Fremont, Ohio?
How somebody got a hold of that in Fremont, fucking Ohio, I will never know.
Motion Picture Association, someone is a part of the Academy or whatever they call it. Anyways, so we're going to move on to Rotten Tomatoes and all that stuff. Are you ready? Okay, are you ready? Okay, so... we have the, first I want to go over, you know, the finances of this movie. How much do you think the budget was on this movie? Did you cheat?
I didn't.
Okay.
$6
million. It's actually $1.8 million. Got anything to say about that?
How much of that went to the mower?
That's a good question. That was a pretty snapping mower. Is that a snapper? I didn't even look. There was a mower called Snapper that was pretty popular back then, so... There you go.
He had some equipment.
Yeah, he had some equipment. Speaking of that, you know, when I lived in Arizona, which is where this movie takes place, people had these small lawns like that one was, and they had those riding mowers. I'm like, that was the most ridiculous thing I ever saw, was someone getting out their big-ass riding mower to do their little postage stamp of a lawn.
Well, so before we moved to New York, you know, we moved to a different town in Ohio, and so our yard was like a third of an acre.
Yeah, yeah.
Moving from a house that was, like, was it 2 acres, I think?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we had a riding mower.
Yeah.
And I was pushing, like, oh, let's keep the riding mower because it'll be so quick to mow the lawn. Because, and my wife's like, we're going to look like assholes if we keep a riding mower for that lawn. Which, maybe we would, but at the same time, we sold that and got a regular push mower. And it took me a fucking hour to mow the lawn.
Oh, yeah, you need a riding mower for that. But in Arizona, ours was like, we barely had a lawn. We didn't have rocks. We had rocks for our lawn there.
Right.
And most people had little postage stamps. So, yeah, don't be that guy. Don't be the guy who buys a $3,000 mower for a 10x10 lawn. That's just,
But here's the thing. We didn't buy it. We already had it.
Yeah, okay. Well, for you, you already had it, but you just got rid of it. Okay, so so how much do you think this movie made in the box office, man? Come on.
$28 million.
Did you forget already?
No, I didn't. I just wanna...
A little inside baseball. We had a little technical difficulty, and he already knows this, but I thought for real that he just fluffed it up.
$31 million.
31.6. See, he did mess it up. He doesn't know.
I wasn't trying to be that exact, dickhead.
Well, I like to show a little bit of failure, so that way you don't think I'm perfect.
You know what? Don't worry about that.
Okay, then, Hotshot.
You just do what you do, and I will keep my same opinion.
Okay, Hotshot. Then what about Rotten Tomatoes? We're at the critics score. What do you think it is?
50.
Damn, you got it right. It's 50%. Bitches will love and hate a movie, right? That's like, you know, half of them love it, half of them hate it, or half of them tolerate it, I guess. I don't know how they get that score, because is it just if it's 2.5 or more? Is that considered a... Because you could be a 3 and be like, yeah, there's a lot I didn't like, but it is all right, you know. So, anyways, sorry about that. Just
okay.
Going off there. And then the audience score, do you remember this?
72.
He's wrong again. It's 74%. But that's a good score. As we've said before, movies from that long ago, if it's in the 80s, that's almost perfect. 90s is, like, ridiculous. I never see anything in the 90s that old. But definitely 80s is good. So I'm going to go into the reviews I have. The first one is the positive review. It is Fred Topple of We Live Entertainment, or We Live. I don't even know. I think it's We Live Entertainment. I'd say that makes more sense. But anyways, he says, sadly, I feel the message of Can't Buy Me Love is more relevant than ever. Hopefully it shows young viewers that they can empower themselves if they're surrounded by adults who look the other way when they're being mistreated. So basically, you know, they're empowered to be bullied. I guess that's what he's saying. That's
the good old days.
The good old days when, you know, you got your head stuck in a toilet and people laughed about it. Instead of thinking it was a, I don't know, physical crime.
You could just let your kid go off mowing lawns. Don't even care where he's at.
Well, I think his parents actually cared. I don't, you know. I think his parents are like, how much did you save? And, you know, you even calculated it all. So, but we're a little ahead of ourselves here. Anyways, Karen James of the New York Times, she's a negative review. She says, the film thinks it wants to be sincere when all it truly wants to be is popular, just like the other kids' movies. So it sells off its originality.
So one thing with that, of course it's a negative review because her name is Karen.
Yes, she Karened it up.
But
with a C, not with a K.
That review is perfect, though. It wants to be popular. So does fucking Ronald Miller.
Yeah, actually, I think she...
That review lends itself perfectly to that movie.
It's a positive review, really, and it really didn't know it. It was the antithesis of the film, right?
Typical Karen.
Typical Karen, getting it right but wrong all at the same time.
Exactly.
All right, so this movie, I mean, let's just get into it. You love it? Hate it?
I'm sorry. I went off on a tangent there. You know what I want
in your
to see?
Brain or
yeah.
You okay.
Know what I want somebody to invent and come out with? Little plush dolls. Karen Bears.
Karen Bears? Oh, Karen Bears. That's, you know, why would we say this on a podcast? Because now someone might steal our ideas.
Edit that out.
Yeah. And just to let everybody know, because we didn't say it, we're actually in studio together. So
we are.
This is rare bird.
Because usually we're in different states.
Yeah, he's in state of denial. I'm in a state of realism.
Yeah, there you go.
So anyways, I love this movie in some ways. And one of the things I love about it, because I'm a huge Beatles fan, is its name.
Right.
I like how it opens with that song.
And its theme song.
They paid for that. I think they paid like $500,000 or something just for that song.
We're trying to figure
out
where that budget went.
Yeah.
$5 million, so you got the lawnmower, the $1,000 ruined dress, the suede dress. So they had to pay for that.
Yes.
The Beatles song. That's like 4/5 of your budget right there.
And the amount of beer consumed at those parties is pretty high. I mean, I just noticed that when you watch it, it's like, you're like, wow, how much beer did those high schoolers drink?
And that $2 chuck that Quinn is drinking.
Oh, the ripple?
Yes.
You give your synopsis so everybody knows, because we skipped that kind
of. Oh, yes, sorry.
Let them know what's going on here.
So Ronald Miller is the one of the class dorks in high school. And
he'd be a cool guy now, by the way.
He's sick of it.
Yeah.
He's done with this life. He wants to break out. He wants to be popular. He also wants a telescope. So he's conflicted when he goes to the mall and he sees everybody's dream girl, Cindy Mancini, trying to get a deal on an outfit, which he sees from across the mall. And this was a super sweet mall, too, we have to admit. That was a big fucking mall back in the day. So he sees from the telescope all the way across Cindy in turmoil trying to do something about this suede fucking white suede fringed leather dress that she stole from her mom, who said, Cindy, I said no.
But
got wine on it. She's trying to do anything. She was ready to suck that clerk's dick to get a new outfit as a replacement. Wasn't happening. Ronald flashes the cash. I want to buy you for a month. Not buy, rent. Because he thinks that will make him popular. Spoiler alert, he was right.
Yeah, he was. He was pretty right. But, you know, the thing is, I don't think she stole her dress. I think she borrowed, like, you know, kind of borrowed it and was going to put it back. That's not thieving.
She was told no. She took it. She ruined it. That is theft.
And, like, just want to say that we are here in person, right? So that means I have him here right next to me, and I'm pulling up the locations because he said the mall looked cool. But look through the list of these. I mean, if you go on and there's a then and now section on this, I mean, check this out. Like, if you look, it shows the house, them standing there, and it shows the next one. It's a little bit different, but for the most part, they all looks freaking same.
Is that Kenneth's house?
No, that's hers. That's Cindy, okay. Cindy Mancini's house.
I just want to see Kenneth's house. See if it's still got shit stain on the
door. Oh, the shit stain on the door? Yeah, I don't know about that. I was trying to find the mall, though, you know. That's, That's what I was looking for, but because we were talking about the mall.
It was a nice mall.
It was a nice mall.
I mean, it's an affluent neighborhood. So.
It's funny, the where he's doing the BMX riding, it's now a football field. You got to love it, you know.
It's pretty sweet.
It's pretty sweet, you know. It's just cool. Oh, is that the mall?
That's it.
That is it. And it's pretty much, oh, they've made some changes. It's a little more hip. The telescope store is a pet store now. That's pretty sad. That's really kind of sad.
I was hoping a Spencer's or Hot Topic.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, you know, instead of buying telescopes, we're buying some other
T-shirts with pictures of telescopes on
it. Yeah, that say other things that probably aren't appropriate. But no, basically he buys himself some love, right? Is that what this is? This is a tale of old time, you know,
not
buying
love, companionship.
Well, that's because you want to paint her as a prostitute.
No, I didn't. Bobby did.
Well, I would say, if anything, she's not a prostitute. She's an escort. Which there's no expectation of sexual activity. Yes. However, you are being seen with them.
She escorted him to popularity.
Escorted him to school, all that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because there was no agreement, as they made an agreement, as we know in the movie, right before they go on the first day, you know, at 8:05 a.m.,
no hand-holding, no kissing, and I get my lunch hours off.
And that's when they said, no, I need at least...
It's not part of our original agreement.
So he gets four lunches. So he gets four lunches, and then... But then later on, you know, she does... What's funny, she does this whole agreement, and then later on we see her taking him out for pizza.
Yep.
But that wasn't in the agreement, so it makes me wonder what changed. I don't understand, like...
Shopping.
Yeah, shopping. I mean, is it because she got more interested in him, or is it... Is it just because?
So I was just going to, the shopping scene, though, I do love, because I love the movie Crazy Stupid Love.
Yes.
So it reminds me a lot of the shopping scene.
Yeah. I've never watched that movie.
You haven't? No. Dumb fuck.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's good.
So what's about that shopping scene that makes it so fun?
So it's kind of, in a way, it's kind of not the same premise, but you have Ryan Gosling.
Yeah. That's probably why I didn't watch it. I don't like that doe-eyed bastard.
Wow.
No, I think he's fine. I like La La Land. It's a great movie.
So anyways, he takes him shopping because he's wearing New Balance shoes, for fuck's sake.
What's wrong with that? I wear New Balance.
Oh, Christ. Then I need to take you shopping.
They're good for your feet. I also wear Asics and Puma.
Anyway, so Steve Carell is like, he's a 40-something-year-old husband, and he's just been stuck in a rut.
Okay, I know that premise. I know the premise of this, yeah.
But he takes him, he like redoes his wardrobe. So he's like, give me your credit card. He keeps taking out this Velcro wallet.
That's awesome.
To give it to him. But it's very much, it just reminds me of that.
Okay.
The shopping scene, the make you over.
The makeover, the man makeover, the cool makeover.
The only difference is she's buying because she's got credit cards.
She's got mommy's cards. We saw that in the beginning when she went, when Ronald was doing the lawn and she came home with her friends. And do you think she bought her friends stuff too?
Probably.
Because it seemed like that's what it felt like, but I don't know.
I told you, only the Neiman Marcus card. But mother, school starts on Tuesday.
Neiman Marcus is not cheap.
No.
No, so like I don't even know. I never got that. You know, I was like, hey, the Husky section at Kmart's calling your name, Michael.
Right. Rural King.
Yeah, Rural King. Actually, I wasn't a Husky back then, though, actually. I didn't wear Huskies, but, you know. That's now. That's more like now thing, not then. Back then, I wore, like, regular-sized pants, I guess.
Right.
Whatever that is.
Okay.
I had short legs, though. What about you?
Husky?
Did you wear regular-sized pants?
Only my underwear was Husky.
Only my... Ooh, yeah. I'm sure your mother said, we have to get you those ones at the big front, Anthony. It's gonna fit your package.
No, she didn't. She was just like, I think you're almost an A cup now.
Oh, that's mean. That's worse. That's worse than I could do to you.
You could still do the Superman underoos for another year.
Ooh.
You're good.
Yeah, you're 17. You got this.
Yeah, that was me.
You're 17. You got this, man. Get your own job. Buy your own underwear.
Buy your own underoos.
What, speaking of that, when was the first time you went out and like bought clothes for yourself? Like shop for yourself and for your fashion sense? Not...
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When's the first time you went out and said, I'm buying this for me because, you know...
It would have been like... When I got my first job as pizza maker.
Really?
You know, getting your money. So you're going out. And I had my fashion sense was lacking.
I would agree.
If I go back to the shit I wore.
Yeah.
It was bad.
I went to...
It was bad.
I remember going to JCPenney my senior year because
JCPenney,
and I got a silk shirt and some Guess jeans.
Oh God, the silk shirts!
And I got a nice silk shirt, some Guess jeans. You know, that was my probably my first outfit I bought for myself that I didn't have my mother there to pay for it and pick out mostly and probably guide my decisions.
See, I remember too. That's when JCPenney. I remember when they used to have football jerseys, like the NFL jerseys.
Yeah.
So I got into that for a while too.
Yeah.
Even if it wasn't like my team, just getting jerseys and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
This was before it was all NFL license and $150 for a fucking jersey, or $300 if you wanted the authentic one.
Did you have the? Do you remember the starter jackets of the?
Hell yes.
Okay, I had a Raiders one.
I was just gonna say Raiders.
I had the Raiders.
Everybody, it was Raiders starter jacket.
I had the Raiders starter jacket. Isn't that horrible? I'm sorry, we got off on a tangent here, but Ronald Miller shopping just makes you think of all the dumb shopping decisions you made when you were a young man or young woman. You know, that was awful. It was awful.
It was bad.
Bad taste. Although, I will say, I was able to pull in that jacket. You know what I'm saying? I got some girls' numbers and got some dates wearing that jacket, so I don't feel totally, I mean, for the time. It was okay. I didn't feel like now I would look at myself, and if I were a lady looking at me wearing that jacket, I'd be like, what the flip?
See, that's the thing. It was okay then, and now it's something you would look at as a Halloween costume this year.
Yes, it would be. That and a members-only jacket, you know.
Those were sweet, and they still are.
Yeah, maybe. And you probably wore those sunglasses with the little things that went around the back and had the leather on the sides, you know.
No, I didn't do that.
That was an 80s thing for a little
bit. I had the ones that had the little...
The slats?
Slats.
Yeah, you had
that would have been me.
Yeah, the pergola sunglasses version. Yes. Sunglasses. All right. Okay.
That you can't fucking see out of.
All right. Okay. So where are we at in this movie?
Have blocks we gotten... the sun and it blocks everything else.
Where are we at? We
prostitution proposed.
Yeah.
Accepted.
That doesn't matter. We've
moose in the hair.
We get what we get.
You have the nicest rhododendrons in town.
That's one of the best lines in the movie.
It is.
Although one of the best lines in the movie earlier would have happened earlier when his brother. Who is Seth Green?
Yes.
Asks him, when his father asks him, what are you guys doing? Because his father's giving his brother $20 for what? And back then, that was good money. Like, what? He's going over to hang out with his friends with $20? Is he buying the pizza? My gosh, man. I wish my parents would just say, here's $20. Go hang out with your friends. Like,
was it 10 or 20?
It was 20 is what he says. Like, he asked for 20.
Okay.
So I assume it was 20. Okay. Yeah, he said, I need $20, Dad.
Preschool jam session at Julie's.
Yeah, what the heck is that? I mean,
school jam session.
Well, whatever. He got money, but Ronald, you know, he asked him, well, what are you doing? He's going, you know, oh, usually the Saturday night card game, and that's when you get.
Which we're not going to repeat.
Okay.
Cards with the.
Humanity?
Word that rhymes with cards. We're not going to say it because it's not PC.
Okay, I won't. Shards?
There you go. Cards with the shards.
But no, it's. Seth Green says one of his most famous lines. I think I'll bring it up later, probably.
Why? Do it right now.
Well, you say it.
Who can be tonight of cards, chips, dips, and dorks?
He's so funny.
That laugh, which I can't do, but it was pretty good.
I think that's one of my favorite moments. Another one of my favorite things earlier on in this movie, before we even get to the propositioning, is when she's with her friends, Amanda. Is that her name? Or Cindy?
Cindy.
Pardon me. Amanda Peterson's the name of the actress. Pardon me.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, she's passed away. Sadly, had a tragic life after this. Anyways, Cindy Mancini talking to her friends, and they're like, oh, where'd you get that dress? And she's like, oh, Bobby sent it to me.
Yeah, fine leathers in Iowa.
In Des Moines. But, you know, I'm like thinking to myself, this dude's a freshman in college. How's he getting a $1,000 dress sent to his girlfriend? Like,
the best leathers come from Rome, Paris, and Des Moines.
In Des Moines. Now, if he'd have went to Nebraska, I would at least... half tempt entertain it because that's where a lot of cows are, but they're more for consumption. So at least I would understand, you know.
Her friends are stupid. They're going to believe whatever she says.
Yeah, that's true.
They all believe that Ronald is popular now.
True. True. Did you another thing that was interesting even before we get to the proposition is when you see this movie open up and everything, you see all these people who look like they're 30 in high school and you see them drooling over like high school cheerleaders. It just, it gives you that icky feeling.
It's no different than any other movie. Everybody that plays a high school kid is 25 to 30.
Yeah, but, you know, it doesn't have the same charm as like a Grease 2 does with that. this one's not as charming with that whole like ickiness feeling, I guess. You know.
That's because they're all 30 in Grease 2.
That's true. That's true. And I find it strange that so after all this, because you know we have the drink, like you said, spilling the ripple on it. And then later on, when Ronald is getting into a car with her, and she's a little bit agitated, I find it real strange that he was supportive about Bobby. But do you think he's still in that mindset that he's really just renting a person?
Yes. He's not trying to date her. He's just trying to become popular. That's his end game. That's what he's paying for. And it's not prostitution. I was just kidding. But he's paying to be popular. And that's it.
I just, you know.
That's what he wants. Yeah. He's not trying to get Cindy to fall in love with him because he already doesn't think in any world that would actually happen. That's not what he's putting his money down for.
If he wasn't trying to get Cindy to fall in love with him, I can tell you this right now. He wouldn't have gone full McDreamy and had the shirt open washing the car. Because you know.
Here we go.
That you know that that's when she probably first was like, oh, you know, yes. What? This guy is not as dorky as I thought.
Right. That is 155 pounds of U.S. grade A.
Yeah, meat. He's prime USDA choice dork. Yes, he's – but no, he went full McDreamy. That's what I call that. You know, just – you know, he just – McSteamy at that scene.
McSkinny.
He is not the Big Mac. He's more like a junior cheeseburger or something. Yes. Right? But that's not even McDonald's. So that's oh, yeah.
I mean, there was no fat on him, though. He's skinny, so he was like a junior Atkins cheeseburger.
Yeah.
Lettuce bun. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, as he gets more ingratiated into this popularity thing, his buddy, Ken.
Yes. Children of the Corn, Malachi.
And doesn't he have another connection for us anywhere else in our?
He does.
Okay, what is it?
He's been in other stuff.
Okay. So, because he looks so familiar.
That's
like
the big one, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That and Can't Buy Me Love.
Yeah. So he starts getting angry, but I don't think he should have been as angry. Like, I mean.
Why?
Well, I have a note here on this. That's what I was getting to. You know, sometimes I have. Because he told Ken before the year even started. He knew he wanted to get into this group. So he knew that that was his goal. So he should be a little more supportive rather than being
No,
lame.
He wasn't. Jocks became jocks. Cheerleaders became cheerleaders. We became us. I like us.
I know that quote. I might have it written down He's for saying, a certain like, reason.
Well, good for you.
But he knew he wanted to be a part of that group.
Yes, Ronald Miller wanted another life.
Didn't want another life.
He dared to dream, and he paid for it.
Yeah, he's Icarus. We get it. But he definitely could have been a little more supportive, knowing that his full end goal was to become a little more popular. Because it isn't like he didn't like Ken anymore, like in the sense like he wasn't his friend.
Kenneth,
whatever. That's a pretentious way to say that. Just throwing it out there.
Oh, no, he also, yeah, that was the other connection, though, Kenneth.
Yeah?
Sweet Home Alabama, the sheriff.
Yeah, that's it. That's where I was trying to. I knew he had a thing.
We'd already talked about that before. And he's Hans in The Burbs.
That's what my other one was. I was waiting for you to notice this. So, yeah, The Burbs, Sweet Home Alabama. I was waiting for you to get that because I knew that you... I was trying to set you up for that, and it took you a while to get your brain wrapped around it.
He's in Back to the Future, too.
Yes, he is. He's a Disney in the dance or something like that. He's that one of the dancers at the dance? Is that what he is? I don't remember.
Dixon?
In what?
Back to the Future.
What does he... What?
Is he the asshole that... It's like, scram, McFly.
I don't remember.
The dance? That might be him.
That might be... That's who I was thinking he was.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. He's the jerk at the dance. Because I remember it was of Ginger. You know, all gingers do bad things, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's actually a little bit... I shouldn't use those overt generalizations for a whole group of people.
But you do.
But I did. I know I did
you
it.
You do.
Now, he's cool. He's cool. So, when they do finally go out on a date and... I don't understand why they went out on a date, and he still doesn't know that it's a date, I guess. I don't know. They go to the Boneyard. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you know what the boneyard is?
The boneyard?
Well, actually, oh, see, I use the term that you would. The airplane graveyard. It's called, they call it a boneyard.
No, airplane junkyard. Graveyard.
They call it a boneyard, too. Sorry.
Well, that's not what they called it.
Well, if you ever lived in Arizona, whatever.
So then you've got also in their having their date there. And here's Ronald Miller with, could have had a $1,000 mic or a telescope, and he's got one made out of paper towel tubes.
Isn't that crazy? And like, it's not like he didn't have money left over.
But you got something better than that already.
He could have used that extra $500 he had left to maybe buy something. I mean, anything better than that.
I think from the time he hired Cindy to make him popular to where they came at that point, I think he blew through that with fucking moose.
Yeah.
And swatches.
Did you, his quote in there, didn't he say like 30 years from now we'll be living on the moon or something like that, or 20? We are not living on the moon. I'm just going to say that. And working like he thought there would be, like no one's on the moon.
And working there. Maybe yeah. It'll be us.
No, there isn't nobody on the moon. We can barely agree to go to the moon, let alone get there anymore. Right. It's like,
well, yeah, his prediction, Back to the Future's predictions were way more on point than what he did.
That's correct.
So,
now this is where we can see with her that she actually now is, because he's shown interest in her as a person. Mm-hmm. She actually likes him and might be having her want to have a relationship, and then he's an idiot. You know, and doesn't realize he's not picking up the what she's laying down.
He's not, because again, he'd never thought in a million years she would actually like him. He was just renting a service.
The only thing I'll say is I don't think she really showed her real feelings. She just hinted. Like, right. If she would have said, "Hey, you know what? I know this started off as $1,000 thing, but I like you enough to give you your money back and make this work." Like, if she would have said that.
She didn't do that. But even if she had done that, it still wouldn't help, because I'm going to tell you why, and because we both know why.
Why?
Okay? Men are stupid. You can drop as many hints as you want. We are dumb. We need a roadmap. We need cliff notes. We need all of it.
We need a blinking sign that says,
"I like you." Blink, blink, blinkety blink.
We do need it. I need them to grab my hand and take me into the bedroom and say, "It's okay, Mike," because I'm afraid. And in this world now, too, man, you gotta like, hey, could you sign this piece of paper saying you've consented? I mean, that's the way it is now.
Can I get your thumbprint on here?
Yeah, we need a double thumbprint. And do you have a key to turn in this thing? No, it's it's crazy.
But Ronald Miller would never have picked up on that.
No, and I think he got a little full of himself. I mean, especially when he came to school wearing a bolo tie. You know, if you wear one of those, you just can't be taking yourself seriously. I mean, that's about the dumbest tie you can wear.
That's where the rest of his extra $500 went.
That outfit. Because she didn't buy that. You don't think? No, she didn't buy that.
He looked way better when she just ripped his sleeves off than anything he wore after that.
Yeah.
It's a designer original.
Do you find it interesting that all the other girls are interested in him now and like wanting to go out with him? Do you think that's a leap, or do you think that would have been a natural thing? Do you think that really would happen?
I don't think that's a leap. I think that's sheep.
That's a sheep. Because I was going to say, one of my favorite lines is when he takes out, what's her name, Barb, and the big guy that played Rube in Major League 2.
Yes.
John. Okay. He says, "I bet you can make some sweet sweat back there. Hey, Barb." Isn't that what him who said that? Make the sweet sweat? Yeah.
Yep.
I thought that was just, I mean, I don't know what we were thinking back in the 80s to think. See, I watched this movie back then, and I don't remember it being that overt in my face like that. Like, I totally.
Oh, it was.
I totally overlooked some of that.
You overlooked, too, that his name was John Richmond. Dick.
Oh, well, there you
Dick
go.
Dick Dickmond. Let's just call him that.
Dick Dickman. Hi, Dick. Now, then I love, just like every 80s movies have to have, what scene do you think they put in there to make sure that they fulfilled one thing every 80s movies had? Some producer somewhere said, "You've got to do this." And just, I'll tell you here in
There's
a second.
There's a lot.
No. This is one specific to probably to appease the guy audience.
There's only one titty, quite this pretty.
That the part, girls' locker room scene.
Oh, yeah, that.
You know that they made this movie like a teen romance, and they said, man, we got to put something in here other than the lewd humor, which they did put in there for that, I believe, when I was reading. But they put that in there. Just some producer said, man, you got to show more tits and ass or guys are going to be tuning out at this. You know some guy did, because they did. They actually said these things. Like if you look up movies, they actually said you need more of this or you need more of that. Some wanted more of a Porky's atmosphere in all these movies. It came out after Porky's. Like it's like, and all the directors and actors kind of resisted that temptation to become a Lampoon movie, you know, or a Porky's movie.
Yeah,
it's like, come on, man. So let's go to the dance. I think that this is probably one of the more iconic things from this movie. What would you say, like, because we're pop culture, pop culture club, right? Pop culture club.
That's, yeah.
What pop culture touchstones do you think are in this movie?
American Bandstand.
Yes, American Bandstand, and the
even though it wasn't American Bandstand,
that's what's funny about it. But I would say anytime I go to a dance, I have to say, "Hey, it's the African Anteater dance." I have to say it.
Hold on. Time out. Two things. African anteater ritual, not
ritual.
Dance.
Well, yeah.
I hate when people fuck that up.
Well, whatever.
You're the second one today to do it, too.
Fuck off.
And how many dances have you ever gone to?
More than you, I'm sure.
Yes, I'm sure.
Who here has danced more on stage in front of thousands of people?
You ninny shit.
That's right. So get over it. So that's why I'm saying that. I can say an African anteater dance if I want. I have more dancing chops than you. But here's what I was going to ask you. I don't think the intention's that way, but do you think that is slightly racist? To take that dance and culturally appropriate it to a bunch of white kids dancing in a high school and then make it as a joke rather than a celebration of a culture?
I think now, yeah.
Okay.
But you have to look at it from the time period, and it's also, to make the joke work, it has to be the most ridiculous dance you could think of that would actually, all of a sudden everybody wants to do it at a high school dance.
Oh, I have my notes on here. This is only something that could happen in the 80s.
Yes.
This particular.
Well, I'm not saying it's only something, but it would have to be like, to happen now, it would have to be like a Seth Rogen movie or something. Or not Seth Rogen, Jesus.
Seth Jesus? Who's Seth Jesus? I've never met. Who is this new Seth Jesus guy?
He's an up-and-comer.
Oh.
Yeah, Seth Rogen. I was thinking Joe Rogan. I'm like, no, wrong person.
So, I've got a question for you.
I've got an answer.
How long did Ronald Miller wait to touch his first breast?
Oh, man. Hold on.
And I think this is also, he says it that way, but I think it also means the other thing, too. So
17 years, 3 months, and 12 days.
17 years, 3 months, and 5 days.
Dang, yes. That was so close.
That's a long time to wait for some tit. Isn't that, yes, what he says? So, but I think it's a euphemism for something else, because I think we all know Barb in that movie. She was an empowered woman, got what she wanted. I mean, that's what we would say now. Back then, we'd say it differently. It's like, isn't that crazy? Perspective changes over time. We're like, oh, well, I guess she knew what she wanted. You know, but another line I love from this after that, a lady never talks.
Yeah. Next time I see one, I'll remember that.
That's so bad. Like, they're so mean. They're so mean to the girls in this, though. I mean, like for example, earlier when Rico Suave had that girl saying up against the pillar at that pool party saying, "You guys are so important to us," between the games, and like stroking her hair. I mean, what kind of weirdo is that? I mean, like, they treat women like a meat market.
I did let her in 3 indoor sports.
They treat women like a meat market.
And there's our, I don't know, like, I still wonder how many people have seen that movie today and not realize that's Gerardo.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's what I mean.
Ricky.
Yeah. Rico, I know that. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, I know. We do. I'm just saying. I wonder how many people, like, watched that movie back in the day and just actually never realized that.
Yeah, they don't. They watch that and they just think, oh, there's that guy. Just,
yes,
a random
Gerardo,
guy.
Gerardo. Rico Suave fame.
Rico
Suave.
There you go. So,
oh, he was such a bad musician.
Yeah.
I would call him more of a one-hit blunder.
You know who he dated, though?
Cindy Mancini.
No, didn't he date Madonna?
Did he? Probably.
I thought he dated Madonna.
Everybody dated Madonna.
That's what I was going to say. I thought he dated Madonna. So, but he was hot for a moment. You know, probably she was like, eh, I'll date that guy.
Yeah.
Girl knows what she wants. Empowered. So this is, we're getting to the point where we get to the mission shit bomb or last mission shit bomb.
You know what?
What?
I just thought about something.
What?
You almost kind of have a Saved by the Bell cast in that movie.
You do.
Patrick Dempsey would have been Screech. Cindy would have been your Kelly Kapowski, pretty much.
Yeah.
Gerardo would have been
AC Slater. Or no, it would have been that other guy who spilled the drink on her dress.
You think so? Quinn?
Yeah. Quinn? Or who are you thinking Zach is, though?
Well, see, I think Ronald Miller becomes Zach. How about that?
Oh, fucking blew my mind, man.
He morphs from Screech to Zach.
And then back to Screech again. But who's talking about that?
Yeah, but during that month, everybody, all the cheerleaders got a Zach attack.
They got the Zach attack. Oh, man, that's amazing. Ah, wow, you just blew my mind.
John Richmond would have been Mr. Belding.
Ooh, wow, jeez. That's just...
Hey, John Richmond, Richard Belding, there you go. There's your loose connection.
That's your connection of looseness. So, but let's get back to the thing. So, Mission Ship Bomb, how'd you feel about that?
Operation Ship Bomb.
Yeah, I know.
Get it right, please.
Whatever, it's a ship bomb.
Yeah. How'd I feel about it?
Yeah. I felt dirty watching it.
Yeah,
he
it's
did.
Kind of gross.
He does Ken
That's a
dirty.
Lot of shit.
And he does him so dirty, like his family.
I'm just like, for me being kind of a germaphobe in the first place, somebody holding a paper bag, soaking at the bottom of dog shit is so unsanitary.
And when you see how it hits that door.
Splat.
You know that it was not well constituted in there, so who knows what got in the car.
That was just straight up Nutella and water mixed together. It had to be.
Nutella. Would you taste it if they said, hey, this is...
No,
after they did it, they said, this is Nutella and water, trust me.
No.
Would you have tasted it?
Would you lick it off the door?
I would try it if they said that. I would believe them. I'd smell it first, of course.
I wouldn't do it anyways.
Okay, well...
No.
Okay. Whatever, man.
Same.
I just think that, you know, you're kind of mean.
Maybe a little bit of petroleum jelly, too, to help it coagulate.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be a good trivia. What was in the mixture of the shit bomb in Canada?
Yeah. If I were to tell, you know, maybe if I win the trivia again, I'll tell them the movie Can't Buy Me Love. Can that be a category?
There you go.
I doubt they would let me do that. But they'd have to say, well, do you mean like just 80s rom-coms or something? They wouldn't.
Yeah.
They'd probably get a little more specific. Now, I have a question for you. Do you want to ride the Ronnie Miller Express?
Do I personally want to?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. I think you need to.
I would take Iris's Greyhound ride, though.
Oh, man. Why are they slut-shaming her back then? You know, that was so bad. I mean, that's one of the things. When you look at this movie through our lens today, we look at it and we go, just because she enjoys something doesn't mean we should be, like, shaming her for her enjoyment. That's not fair. That's a very 2021 view, I guess, of mine.
I love that you point this stuff out from you. No.
That's right. I'm that's what I have written down here.
I know.
You know, that's what I had. I mean, what do you want me to do? I can't not do it. I can't not express my feelings to you, Anthony.
Your moral compass is fucking broken, though.
It is not. I don't like the slut shaming.
I love that you point this stuff out. You don't like it on a podcast. In real life, you're fine with it.
I don't slut shame anybody. That's not right. I think women are empowered and can do what they want. If that's who they want to be, then more power to them.
So you're saying more power to her if she wants to sleep with every guy in school.
More power to them. If that's what they want to do, they can do that. That's not my decision. That's theirs. If that makes them feel good about themselves, they can do that. It's not my decision for them.
Yeah, but you're still a bad person.
Whatever. You guys don't. You just don't like it when I say something that's right. You want me to be wrong so bad.
No, this is just
so bad.
This is a whole other conversation that...
Which is okay. You don't know what that... They don't know any conversations other than the ones they hear right here.
Exactly.
And this is where I'm being the real me all the time.
No, you're fucking not.
All the time.
Lying sack.
All I'm saying is you shouldn't slut-shame women. It's not
nice. You are a lying shit bomb.
That is not nice. He knows that I feel that way. He knows I'm not into objectifying women. That's rude.
Wow.
I'll tell you what's rude, though. Rude. Using Cindy's poem to get laid.
That was fucked up.
That was rude.
This summer.
You know what that reminds me of?
I wish.
It reminds me of that song from the Christmas movie we did. Jamie's Eyes or whatever.
Yeah.
When Chris Klein
Jamie
sings.
Jamie Smiles.
Jamie Smiles. Yeah.
Takes me miles. It's like where I feel unsure.
He's going to sing it to whoever will sleep with him after singing it, I think. That's pretty much it.
It works, apparently.
The Ronald Miller Express was about to end after that, because I think that was her last straw. She saw that, and I think that's because I
you
think...
You ignored the Donald Miller dork for 2 years. Now you want to ride the Ronnie Miller Express.
Yeah, she... That's where I think, when in her mind, she did thought she had something personal with him, and he broke that by using it with someone else. And I think that was the last straw. He could have done anything.
He didn't break it by that. He told her off there at school when she was like, I wrote a new poem. It's called Broken Moon. It goes, and then he laid into her. This was before the New Year's Eve.
Yeah. But at that point, I think she could live with that. But once he started using it to get into someone's pants, I think that's where it was like, you know, that was personal between us.
Yeah, you couple that with the half bowl
cheap poem of, cheated on
the
her.
The half bowl of vodka punch that she had with no punch in it.
Yeah. He poem cheated her, like cheated on her with her poem, and I think that was like as bad as cheating, you know, if they were going out, which they weren't, which is kind of weird. It's like he's guilty of something, but I don't know what the fuck it is.
Yeah.
I don't know. What's he guilty of? I don't know. So, yeah. Let's see. And Bobby, like you said, he shows up.
Bobby's an asshole.
I think he's kind of gross, like, in a way. Like, he's at a high school party, worried about high school bullshit. Like, he's a college guy, shouldn't be worried about the cliques and the stuff. Like, he shouldn't be lording over who's popular and who's not after he's gone.
No, because he's coming back as big shit and thinks he's big shit. You know who he is? Trip McNeely.
Yeah.
Trip McNeely!
He's a piece of work. You just can't do that. You just can't come back and lord over people.
Yeah, you can. People do it all the time.
I wouldn't do that to you.
Not to me, because I see through your bullshit.
Whatever. You be you. I won't slut shame you.
Bobby
for...
came back because he's a big bad freshman in college. He's a Hawkeye. Because
wrong Big Ten school,
but there he's just a freshman trying to make it.
Oh, that's what Ronald said.
But that's I know.
Ronald tried to defend him, and he comes back and treats Ronald like
that.
He's
coming back because he wants to recapture some of his glory. He's Al Bundy.
Oh, he wants to go to Polk High and throw some touchdowns and
score 4 touchdowns in one game.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not feeling loved where he's currently.
Right.
So he needs to be a shithead to other people.
Can't even get digits as a freshman.
Now, no, not at all. But she totally torpedoes Ronald there. Like
she does. You.
You.
But even Bobby thinks we went out.
I have on here that the first thing I thought of, she owes him that money back. Like right away, like you know.
I mean, I call that breach of contract. Yes.
Yeah, the moment you do that, you've breached the contract, and you've actually you owe me $1,000 now. I want the dress and $1,000. I'm going to wear the dress, and
I'd
I'm going to go out.
$1,000 minus the clothes she bought for him.
I'll give you that. Yeah.
Sunglasses.
That's fair.
Okay.
That's fair. I would say that's a fair trade.
Gas money for the Tic Tac Tile van.
Probably all evens out.
Taking them out.
But you know, it's like. But the thing is, like, since she did that, it's like she has this self righteousness about it. Like to me, that's so wrong. Like you were part of that just as much as he
was. She was wasted.
Yeah, but she does that to him, and now everyone treats him like a fucking leper, and like.
Yeah, but before that, they were starting to treat her like one. She was like hanging on to dear life for her friends because they were all on the Ronnie Miller Express.
True.
So it was having a negative effect on her. So she had to end it. Plus, she was wasted. Plus, Bobby showed up and called her a prostitute.
Correct.
So that's what happens.
What I find interesting is that later on when Ronald is... we see through a window a party going on, and we still see him doing the fucking African theater ritual dance. I said both.
So do you think... do you think that's his house, though? That's his parents' party, I'm assuming. Because he doesn't sleep in the fucking garage.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Okay. They're doing that flipping dance.
Yep.
Like, how does that happen? I don't understand.
How does that happen without Twitter and TikTok? How did he start that and spread so quick?
Yeah, well, without being on American Bandstand. Back then, that's where you learned your moves, man. You didn't have YouTube to teach me how to Dougie, you know? Teach me how to Dougie.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, I have a surprise category I was going to do later, but Moy, I just found a new one. Something that you didn't know about that we're going to do.
Fuck.
So, but the teach me how to Dougie, maybe I'll pull that up. We can do a couple things. Anyways, so, he was weeping in the shed and sleeping on a burlap sack. That's pretty bad.
No pillow.
That's
as low as it gets for New Year's Eve.
Yeah, and I'll say this, but now everyone avoids him, and I didn't think that was a bad thing. If everyone avoids you, at least you can just say, fuck off, and everybody will understand. You know, you can just do your thing. You know.
Didn't you take economics? Yeah, me for $49.95.
That right there was a bad scene. I don't know. Are we supposed to say that because she's not attractive like Cindy? And she's not what I call like... It's bad. It just treats her... It's demeaning her is what she's doing to herself. And I don't like that. I think it's horrible. You know, that don't undervalue yourself. You're worth more than $50. Mm. I mean, at least 75. Just fucking with you. No, but I'm just saying that you could don't put a value on yourself like that, you know? Yeah. I just don't like that.
Here, I'm just going to say something. For anybody that listened to our Roadhouse episode, don't be saying $75 when you're like, $20 should get me a lot more than touching a boob.
Well, yeah, I mean, a touch is touching. Well, I could touch your boob right now. How much would you let me...
You're saying...
How much do you want for me to touch your boob right now?
You don't have enough money in your wallet.
Yes, I don't have a wallet, but how much would it be to touch your boob?
You better be getting some fucking credit cards out.
I'm not credit carding anything. How much would it be for me to touch your titty?
There's no... You know what? Hey, Wesley, there's no amount of money.
There's no amount of money? After this is done, I'll tell you the next episode how much I... Touch the titty for.
Oh God.
Yes.
$1,000.
Yes. Okay. So
there's my price.
But I do like how someone's like $240, $250 a month for those cheerleaders. Good investment. Oh, and another thing I noticed at lunchtime.
Not an unwise investment.
It was a good. I said a good investment. What do they call it?
You don't quote well.
Paraphrased. I made it. Hey, you know what? I'm not a quote machine. Okay.
I know.
What do I look like? I understood what he said. I showed context. Come on, man. What do you think about seeing Shasta on the lunch table there? I was like, whoa. I didn't see that for a while.
That's good stuff right there.
Oh, by the way, you're $49.95. My note on that, just to let you know, really shows how poorly we treat women. Putting a value like that on them. Just saying.
She put it on herself, though.
So what? So anyways, but that doesn't, but no, the movie wrote it, that whoever wrote that should have changed it, maybe done something a little different. Like, I don't know. Figure out a way to objectify the woman in a way it doesn't maybe show a gross disparity between two people. Anyways, that being said. So, you shit on my house, man.
You shit on my house! Shit on my house.
That was like the biggest, emotional moment in the movie, I would say. That was a pretty...
Kenneth turned into the fucking Rock.
And, you know, and then we see him checking out the cheerleaders, though. So, that to me shows, you know, that's why I said Ken earlier, like, he can't be dogging on him. He wants that just as much, and he knew how much he wanted it, so he can't be, like, hating on him. You know, he should want to sit with them at lunch still. And
fame
wanna...
changes you, man.
I don't know. I don't know about fame changing me. This podcast hasn't changed me.
Because we're not famous.
I'm famous. You won't be famous?
I didn't mean famous Amos.
Yeah. So what'd you think of the Ronald's mea culpa in the bathroom?
You gotta love scenes where you're willing to sneak into enemy territory. It's brave.
I call it the grand gesture. A lot of romantic movies need the grand gesture.
Yeah.
This had two, really. But that was the romantic grand gesture. Like, the second one was his you know, the bat scene.
Yes.
You know.
I'll break your arm. Pitching arm. Don't make me laugh, Lawn Boy.
He carried you home for how long?
We carried you 12 blocks to the hospital. He cried all the way.
Yeah. But I want to let you know, when they show, before we get to that, though, he goes home and he's in his bedroom. Did you see what was on his headboard?
Hang on. I got to back up for a second.
Yeah.
Before that, sorry. There's another scene, though, to me. The teacher comes out. Sick old pervert grabs by the ear. She didn't even wash her hands yet. You heard the toilet flush. She didn't wash her hands, and she's grabbing his ear. And
oh, yeah, you're right,
dude.
That's
fucked
up. Well, especially in this era of washing hands, yes, and sanitizing and pandemics. I mean, you know, now we look at that and go, oh.
Old lady just took a shit, and now she's grabbing my ear and hauling me out of the bathroom.
Who knows what she was doing in there?
I'm just saying.
We don't know what she was doing.
Yeah.
She may have liked what she heard and was now just false punishment.
Stop.
You know, maybe she gets off.
Anyway, I'm just saying.
Okay.
This is one of my biggest pet peeves in the world.
Anybody, don't tell me to stop.
Anybody go in the bathroom not washing their hands when they leave.
Hey, you know.
And you see it too often still, and it's so fucking gross.
Is that why you don't shake hands?
Maybe I don't shake hands.
Okay, shake my hand.
I don't shake your hand.
Well, fuck off.
Like you.
So, did you know she had a Jolt Cola on his headboard, though?
I don't remember that shit.
It was. Really? I saw that. I was like, hey, there's a Jolt Cola. I thought for sure you would notice that. Okay.
Man, I'm slipping in my old age.
Yeah. The speech is good, as we were just talking about. Like, when he hits the bat, he's like, you know, thing. But the music in the background was a little generic, so. Mm. I mean... now he does his big speech, you know, and everyone kind of leaves him alone, and he walks away brooding, as he does now, and Ken gets to go on with his life, and they don't beat his ass,
and they shake hands.
Yeah, so that's kind of nice. So then they go, but later on he's out mowing in Arizona. Let me just tell you, it is hella hot in Arizona. You don't be mowing in that sun when it's that high.
You know, here's another thing. You think about it, now you bring that up. So he spends his whole summer mowing lawns.
Mm-hmm.
Ronald Miller is white as a fucking eggshell.
Yeah?
He's Bella from Twilight.
How
are you in Arizona and you're that white and you're outside all the time?
Yeah. What the hell's wrong with him? He's got a pigmentation issue.
He should have a farmer's tan at least on his arms.
Well, yeah, but he did wear a lot of long-sleeve shirts until she pulled the sleeves off. Remember,
that was to school. Outside mowing, short sleeve shirts.
Yeah, he was wearing, but he wore a pill hat too.
Yeah, but that doesn't protect your arms.
No, it protects his face, so that's why that wouldn't be. But he wore a pill hat. I guess, you know, but
we saw him washing the car with no shirt on, very white for being in Arizona out in the sun. Just saying.
And now the second piece of pop culturedom that I feel that this thing offers, and is the end of this movie.
Pop culturedom, is that a word?
I made it up.
Did you just make that up?
Yeah, for us.
Trademark it.
So did Pop Culturedom. So did Pop Culture Club. Culturedom. I don't know. Whatever.
We do put the dumb in it, so I guess.
We put the dumb in culture.
There you go.
But no, when he sees her, he's mowing her lawn, she gets out, gets in with her friends, and all of a sudden she comes back. And, you know, they start negotiating again. But this time,
yes,
for, you know, they want it all.
Yeah.
They both want it all. And they ride off into the sunset on a lawnmower.
Yep.
Which, like I said, that's the big thing. I think there's been other movies I've done. Like I told you, I know for a fact it was done in Easy A at the end with Emma Stone and that guy who, the woodchuck character guy,
yeah,
who's now in You. He was the guy in You, really good.
Penn Badgley,
yeah.
Oh, man, that's a great show.
So, but yeah, that was in there. And it's been, you know, let's say, I think it's been another thing. So it's kind of, it's one of the great ending scenes. That's why I say this has some moments that are just
riding off into the sunset on a riding lawnmower is about as epic as you could get, especially for a teen movie.
Yeah, the two endings you think of movies, I would say that one and the fist in the
Bender.
Bender. Yep. Yeah. What other movie
this
has a better ending
than Bender?
I mean, Rocky yelling Adrian.
This, yeah, I'm talking about though teen movies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bender. Yeah, I mean, you've got 16 candles sitting on the table, kissing over the cake.
That's kind of creepy though. He's like, you know, 18 years old, and she's like 15, and
that movie is probably 28. But riding off in the sunset like that, her taking his hat off, like, yeah, that was classic.
That was classic.
You know what? The other thing, though, we did skip over is the conversation with her mom, who up to that point didn't, you know.
She totally treated Ronald like.
She didn't play a huge role. But, oh, my God, though, the one scene, isn't he a hunk?
Oh, the Italian guy. Yes. Oh, gosh.
Oh, man, that was awesome.
Oh, I wish. But he was so creepy, though.
Yes, he was.
He looked at Cindy and was, like, talking about her.
And then the conversation with Cindy. I don't get it.
Yeah.
First, he's a geek. Then you start going out with him. Then he's a geek again. Honey, I don't understand what a geek is. I guess at the present time, a geek would be Ronald Miller.
Yeah.
Who says? There's some parental advice right there. Who says?
Who says? That's right. I guess the mother... But the mother kind of treated him like that. You're picking up my daughter when he first picks her up. He's like, she's like, you're here for Cindy?
Now see, yes.
Not here to mow my lawn?
Did I forget to pay you last week?
I'm here to trim the hedges, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am, your daughter.
I'm here to trim the hedges.
And you gotta love that though when you juxtapose both those scenes. So she's like, I don't understand what a geek is. A geek is the guy you fucking went out with.
That's funny.
Oh, and it was, his name was Rock, wasn't it?
Yeah, Rock. Rock, isn't he hot? I didn't.
Isn't he a hunk?
A hunk, yeah. He's
good word, mom.
Good word, mom. But yeah. So, I think that's it. That's that movie, right? Do you want to do some six pack?
Let's do it.
All right. I think. Well, do you want to go first?
I don't care.
I'll go first then.
All right, I'll let you.
You're not letting me do anything. I'm going first because I want to. I'm empowered as a man. And if I was a woman, I'd be empowered too. So, let's open that up. And my first one is Seth Green. Cards, chips, dips, and dorks, man. And, you know, his continually trying to follow him around and get farted on and passing out constantly.
Yeah.
That's disgusting, kind of, though. I mean, but it was pretty cool.
All right.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. All right. One of my favorites is Saturday Night Card Game. At least he could have done it is drop off the dip and chips. The cold brew is just not the same.
Like, what the flip?
Drinking root beer. I love that.
You know, though, I'm kind of envious, though. I wish I had, when I was a kid, a group of friends that
see, that's
hung
the thing.
Out like
yeah,
that.
But you wouldn't be drinking beer anyway. You don't like beer. You would be drinking root beer and having
that's what
chips.
I'm saying. I'm kind of envious that he had that kind of relationship where he knew he had people to count on and could play cards and have a good time and not think about anything, you know? Just play, you know? Why can't we just be, you know? Why can't we just be?
Because people are assholes.
I'm with you. All right. Are you ready for mine?
I mean, we can just be, but you're still an asshole. So, yeah, you know.
Man.
There's that.
I'm throwing darts, all daggers, right. Whatever.
What's your next one?
All right. Ronald becoming a monster. You know, kind of his whole transformation. He, like, just, you know, from being, like, the meek, dorky guy who needs a telescope to Ronald the bolo tie wearing, poetry reciting... Poonhound. I mean, that's really what he becomes, right? Like self-absorbed, all that. It is him. His whole metamorphosis is kind of a great journey for me.
Okay.
How do you feel about that?
That's fine with me.
Whatever.
You wish you could be half the man Ronald Miller was, so, but you're not.
Don't be that guy. Are you ready?
Okay.
Okay.
It's the African anteater ritual.
Oh, well, I put anteater dance down. So does that count?
No, because it's not. It's ritual. it's not dance. It's a fucking ritual.
I'd like to see you dance it. No, he's not. Don't. No, we do have video, but it's
I have danced that many times. Don't worry.
Oh, okay. You have danced that?
I've done that ritual.
Have you done the?
Yep.
So you do
all
the...
night. All night.
You know, here's what I'm going to tell our listeners. If you truly listen to our podcast and love us, if you DM us a picture of you doing the African anteater ritual, that would be awesome. Send it to our email, send it to our Instagram. You could post it on our Discord. You can
That'd be great.
Do it. Put it wherever you want, and then we'll put it out there on the social medias. We'll let people see.
Yep.
Dustin, anteater dance. I'm down with that. We're down with that. But I doubt anybody will do it, because I think that's kind of an embarrassing dance to do. That's kind of, you know.
No, it's not. It's no worse than the Dougie.
Yeah.
Fucking flossing.
Teach me how to Dougie. Teach me how to. How about Cat Daddy? You remember that one?
Dabbing.
Do you ever watch, what's her name? That one girl who broke the internet when she did the Cat Daddy? I forget her name. But the internet went down for a little bit when she did the Cat Daddy. That's, you know, I wish I was that popular. Just fight Cat Daddy. If I Cat Daddy, would you think we'd get more listeners? Just let us know.
Nope.
I'm talking to them, not you. I'm talking to the listeners. Yeah, do you want to see me see my cat daddy? Do you want to see my cat daddy or whatever how you say it?
Keep going.
I just like saying it.
Finish the sex.
I'll do the stanky leg. Okay, so here's my next one. Are you ready?
Ready.
Jocks become jocks, cheerleaders become cheerleaders, we become us. I like that line. I think that was very telling, like how he shows the transition between elementary school to junior high to high school. Like that really is kind of how it is. Plus, you know, when you go from elementary school to junior high, typically multiple elementaries then feed into that. So then there's this
That's other, where it starts.
The other yes. new dynamic of new people. So people start.
That's where it starts.
Moving away from other people, and it's very rare to keep somebody as a friend that long.
Yeah, that's why schools should be one school, K through 12. You stay in the same class. You stay friends with everybody, and if not, you get kicked the fuck out of school. How about that?
I agree. Are you ready for yours?
And yes.
All right.
All right, there's, rounding this out, though, there's so much I love about this movie. So many great scenes.
That's kind of generic.
Fuck off, dick.
All right.
Okay. It's like, it's actually bad. I want to, like, slam this, but at the same time, it's one of those, it's like, watching it, like, this is good. The band that's playing at the dance.
Oh, yeah.
She's an actress. And I don't believe her.
That band is awful.
No, that band had a sexual chocolate thing going.
Yeah. They had like John Lovitz in the movie with Adam Sandler, where he's I can't think of it.
I know, yeah, it's not about that.
Like he's like that cheesy singer guy. Yeah.
The band, it's like rewatching that. I'm like, that band was fucking cringeworthy.
Yeah, it was. It was bad.
And then I've always been like, when I see these in movies too, I'm like, I never remember having dances with bands.
No, never did. And everyone we watch, we have
a live band.
10 Things I Hate About You. What movie would just do Drive Me Crazy? She's All That. I mean, there's so many movies that have bands, and I'm like, why don't?
Well, She's All That. Usher's your fucking school DJ.
Yeah. You have a DJ, Usher. Yeah, you don't need a band. You have Usher. That's why I'm thinking that. But they have all these cool people, and I'm like, in mine, I have some probably 40-something guy who has a pre-programmed show. He just pushes play and then walks away for the rest of the night. Doesn't take any requests. I mean, that's how
he just has to do the transitions. Okay, we're gonna slow it down.
All right, this is a couples only. Couples
grab that special someone and make some magic.
So I've got another one though for the six pack.
Trade buddy bands.
What?
Trade.
Oh, buddy band. Okay, I'm like, geez, slap bracelet exchange time. So I've got your I've got another one.
All right, go ahead.
All right, ready. Sunset Lawnmower. Of course. Has to be. The Sunset Lawnmower.
Totally agree.
I mean, you see that. That's an iconic scene. Watching him go away with her with the hat thing and looking back at him. You know, I can even see it now. That's why I say it's so iconic. You just know the image. It's really great. So, there you go. So, we're going to get into our generic moments. Do you want to do this one first?
I'll go first. Sure.
All right. Here we go.
All right. I have to... Now I have to make this my generic moment after discussing it earlier. the teacher walking out, grabbing his ear, not washing her hands.
Oh, this is a brand new one? Like, this is an audible?
I have to make this mine because it's disgusting.
All right. No, I agree. I think the audible was called, and it was a good audible.
I had to.
No, yeah. I'm with you. That was after you putting that in my mind, I can't unthink it now. Like it's one of those things that are just there.
The toilet flushes immediately, and she comes out and grabs his ear.
Yeah.
Sicko pervert. I remember you from the dance. Detention, 1 month.
Yeah, that's crazy. So, I'm going to give you my first one. All right, so it was one of our six-pack, but I also find it to be generic, and it is the anteater ritual. Like I told you, it's a little bit of a cultural appropriation of probably something that there's a little more reverence than being made in fun of by a bunch of white people dancing at school. I'm just saying, if it really were... See, the thing is, I don't know that it really was that, like a real thing, but if it were, we already are assigning it to something in a racist way, saying it's an African thing, even if it's not even a real dance. You could just call it the anteater dance, not even give what would you call it? It's not Caucasian or a black thing to do or whatever. It could just say it's just a weird dance we saw on National Geographic and we don't know where they got it.
Well, when they do it, though, you actually could say you could call it the Caucasian sheep
ritual. Oh, it's a Caucasian sheep ritual because they're all doing the freaking same thing because some other guy who they thought was really cool, which ended up not being cool, did it. But I'm just saying that to me is one of the things that, cultural appropriation. It happens a lot, and it happened a lot back then. So
all we can do though now is you have to appreciate it for what it was, the joke it was.
That is correct.
At the time.
The joke at the time, we got what it was. I'll give you a fact right now. Do you know who choreographed the African anteater ritual?
MC Hammer?
No, Paula Abdul.
There you go.
Okay, so do you have any more generics?
No, but I would actually like to go back and give one more of the six-pack.
All right, here we go. There's our six-pack rewind.
You did another generic, I want to do one more six-pack.
Okay.
Shut up, Chuck.
What's that?
I was talking to Ma, Dad.
Oh, yeah. Like,
shut up, Chuck.
They're all telling him, yeah, that's funny. Shut up, Chuck.
Shut up, Chuck. That was great.
Like, it's like
Chuck and Miller finally
getting his comeuppance. Yeah. So I do have another generic. I do have one more, but you probably could guess what it is. So let me hit the thing. All right. The 30-year-old football player is treating cheerleaders like a meat market. It's kind of back in the 80s. We didn't really give much. Give two shits about women, it seems, and we thought they were objects that we just chose rather than people we ingratiated ourselves to and tried to be partners with.
You think that was just from the 80s? It was going on long before that.
Yeah. So now that we've done our six packs and we've done our generics, I want to go into some facts.
All right.
Are you ready for some facts?
I'm ready.
The original title of this movie, what do you think it was?
Pretty Woman.
Boy Rents Girl. And it was changed because it sounded sexist. Not that the content of the movie was sexist, but it sounded. But the newly hired Disney CEO, Michael Eisner, who's very popular, came up with the new title. So he actually came up with a new title and spent the money, obviously, to get the thing. But actually, he didn't spend the money on this. He did, but the movie was shot as an indie film. Then picked up by Disney afterwards for distribution. How much do you think they bought the film for? Because it was made for $1.8. What do you think they paid for it?
$1.9.
No, $6 million. Really? So they made money right away off of this independently
and
shot movie.
Disney made a lot more money.
They made $25 million off of that. So that's a finished product for $6 million.
I would say
bucks.
That's not an unwise investment.
Michael Eisner was a good CEO. And they intentionally cast an unknown to be Ronald for believability. They didn't want it to be a Corey or someone like that because people would know who they were.
And that's, though, that makes that one of the best movies ever because really at that time then Patrick Dempsey kind of was Ronald Miller and now he's McDreamy.
Yeah, he
damn.
That metamorphosis did happen, but over a longer period of time. So that's pretty interesting. And there's some other movies I like with him. I like the movie With Honors. I like the movie Loverboy. So I like
love that movie. Both of them.
What's the one where he goes to Scotland? I like best. I forget what it's called, but really good movie. Maid of Honor. That's a really good movie. So I like some of his movies. He's not just a Grey's Anatomy guy to me.
Meatballs 3.
I've never seen it, but hey, now shame. That you've said it, I've got to watch it.
Yeah, you do.
Okay. So before we do our ratings, I wanted to throw out a quick list and maybe see if you have an opinion on this. Since this is named Can't Buy Me Love, it was named after a Beatles song, I figured I would say, what do you think the top five Beatles songs are of all time?
Top five Beatles songs of all time?
Yeah.
Twist and Shout.
I don't have that on mine, but go ahead.
Oh, I thought you meant what do I think are actually like.
No, I just picked what I thought was top five songs that I like.
Gotcha. I Am the Walrus.
Okay.
Twist and Shout. Let's see here. Can't Buy Me Love. I'd have to put on there.
Okay.
You don't
know enough Beatles songs.
Yesterday.
Oh, okay.
No, I do. I'm just saying I'm trying to pick now my top five.
You have one more here?
I'd say Hard Day's Night.
It's a good song. Okay. I like those. Those are all good choices. Can never be wrong picking any five Beatles songs, by the way, in my opinion. But I Want to Hold Your Hand, Yesterday, Something, Hey Jude, and Let It Be. That's what I have.
Oh, I Am the Walrus has to be on the top.
I Am the Walrus. No, here's the thing. I like all of their music. So you could pick any five songs,
and they would be
and correct. It would be my top five songs. So it doesn't matter. I just picked five that I just tried to represent multiple people in there with great music.
You know something else we got to find out?
But Yesterday is on every top five list, by the way.
I was going to say, how many other movies, because we have Yesterday,
yeah,
that are named after Beatles songs? Can't Buy Me Love and Yesterday.
Oh, wow. That's, I don't know.
Well, Hard Day's Night, actually.
Hard Day's Night, Help.
So. There we go. There's four.
Magical Mystery Tour or whatever. Or Yellow Submarine. So, I mean, I'm sure there's more, and we're just not thinking of it. Oh, if you like that 70s classic, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band with the Bee Gees, yeah, that.
So there's a lot. All right.
Across the Universe, excellent movie with John Sturges, and, you know, where they do all the music. It's like almost like a musical. We should probably do that someday, but it's a little new for us. But that's because I'm a huge Beatles fan. So what we're going to do is we're going to do our ratings now. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
You're ready for this? Okay, so let me play the thing. All right, are you going first this time?
You pick. You pick it, I stick it.
You go first because I'm always going first.
All right, I'm ready.
Do you have a... Now, this time, are you going to give us a little more than just a number?
I'm not going to do your stupid I want to be a film critic diatribe. Because you do that and it's dumb.
Well, it's not dumb. You do your thing. I'll do my thing.
All right. So, fine. I'll explain it first. This movie... Any movie you give me Gerardo in it, first of all, it's pretty awesome. This movie touched on things that are still so prevalent today. Not even just in high school, but in adulthood. People flocking, wanting to be the cool people, dissociating, becoming assholes in the process, everything. But also, the underlying message, you can buy your way into anything that you fucking want. You gotta love that.
Yes.
The cast, incredible. We've talked about some of the connections and the people in it, and I love it. This movie is something that will never get old to me. I could watch this movie any fucking day of the week because it's good. It's not one you ever get tired of. I give this movie 20 cans.
Woo! He's bringing in the heat. He's bringing in the heat.
This movie is an all-time great.
All right. Okay. So, I like his zeal. I like his zest.
I will say, to give a little bit of subtext here, though, anybody that paid $1,000 for that fucking suede outfit is a goddamn moron.
I would agree.
Okay.
Considering I could make it out of pleather and make a really good fake.
Dump all the wine you want on it.
Yeah,
then.
And it won't matter. Here's my my rating and my justification for it. How about that?
All right.
This movie is pure nostalgia. Really, I tossed and turned over whether to score this as I had seen it then or how I see it now. The story is as old as time. It still rings true today. Patrick Dempsey plays his part well, and Amanda Peterson was pretty good. If I had scored this in 1987, it would have been like 23 cans, right? However, because many years have passed and we know better, I can't overlook the objectification of the women characters and 30-year-olds on the high school football team. For this,
wow,
I give it 15 cans.
You're a dick.
So, between the two of us, I think that makes us an average. You had, what, 20 cans?
Yep, 17 and a half.
I know the math. I was not done doing it, though. 17 and a half cans. I think that our system works pretty well.
I think that's low.
That's low?
That's low.
Low to whom?
You're picking out shit that you can't do that to a movie that was made back then.
I can. It's my system. I can do what I want.
You're like, you're ruining the system doing that. You can't.
No, I'm not.
You can't say, well, now this doesn't work, so you can't do it.
Okay, here's my question. Here's my question to you. Let's say we do a movie like Forrest Gump. What, that movie is probably like a 20-something can movie. You're saying that this movie is on par with that movie?
No. I'm saying if you're going to do Forrest Gump, Jenny had to play guitar naked, so you have to knock 7 cans off for that, according to your logic.
Actually, I can't because
how about that?
It was actually
Cash
a part
me outside,
of the,
how about that?
How she was being treated was a part of the movie, not because of the movie. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like they were objectifying her as a way of entertaining me. They were objectifying her to show me how she was being objectified and how she didn't want to have to do that. See, you've got a problem. Now, we'll get to that. See, now you know I'm the real guy. This guy is the piece of shit. He keeps calling me the piece of shit.
How's that make me a piece of shit?
I don't know. Yep. It does.
You are deflecting.
So, we're done with this. It's 17.5 cans, and that's a really good rating, let me just tell you. Because a lot of our movies aren't that good. And let's just say, when we do some other series that we're going to do, I can guarantee you none of his will go above 8, I'm guessing. So anyways, what do you got to say to people?
You're a chode.
That's not what you got to say to people.
That is what I have to say to people. He is a chode.
But say the rest of the stuff that you got to say.
Thanks for listening. I hope you've seen Can't Buy Me Love many, many times as we have. If you hadn't, go watch it like 5 times in a row. You won't be disappointed. Like, subscribe, check us out, look us up, Soda Pop Culture Club on Google. You can find us there. We are on the Instagram, the TikToks, the
website,
MySpace, Twitter, Facebook.
The Discord. Website. Do you know what a Discord is?
Discord, yes, yeah. The website.
The website. And if you, I'm just saying, interact with us. Tell us what you think.
Leave
about
a review,
this.
Leave a comment, let us know what you think. Yeah. Anything, any movies you got in mind that you'd like us to do?
Because our schedule, we're going to post it on our website. But it is flexible if someone comes up with a good idea.
We'll fit something in there.
We'll put it in. That's what I'm saying. We're very flexible. We just need to know why you want us to do it.
I am flexible. This tuna can motherfucker is not that flexible.
I'm pretty flexible.
Let's just say so. That.
Anyways, we're good?
I think we're good.
All right.
Let's ride off on the mower. Together.
Yeah. Are you riding bitch or am I riding bitch?
I want to wear the hat. That's all I care about.
So you're riding bitch because you have to take it off my head.
I got
to
throw this in there, though. I do remember. So I told you we had the riding lawnmower at our house with a couple acres and shit.
Yeah.
First time I was on it, I had my music going. I felt like Ronald Miller.
All right.
It was a great feeling.
Well, Mr. Ronnie Miller, you're going to get on the
hat.
You're going to
have one.
You're going to get on the back of my mower. You're going to take my hat off and we're going to ride. All right.
Okay. Cool.
Hit the
rider.
Button.